Hello to all of our viewers. Welcome to the program Kabbalah for the students. I'd like to invite you to ask questions on kab.tv. Our topic today is self-nullification. I'd like to ask you, Rav Lightman, we've all come to the wisdom of Kabbalah to achieve spirituality, to enjoy, to develop, to receive the wisdom of Kabbalah. Kabbalah in Hebrew is reception. And the topic here is very interesting, to nullify myself. I don't want to. I want to advance. I want to feel. It's true that it says in the Torah, he who wants to live should put himself to death. That's one thing, and it's oppositeness. How can we reach the upper world? By an effort or a change within us. If we want to understand something, we have to start from the beginning. Sometimes from the end, but not from the middle where we are. In the middle of the path. It's written that the Creator, or the Light, the force of bestowal, which is good and benevolent, let's call it Light, good and benevolent, and that has created something that is called desire. This desire is existence from absence, meaning from nothing, from zero. And why did he create it in such a way? Why did he do it in such a way? So that this desire, by the change, will reach a state that it is like the light. Like it. What does it mean, like the light? It will remain a desire, because otherwise it won't be a creature. It won't be something that was created. That's from the inside. From the inside, it's a desire. But on the outside, it will behave like the light. Just like that. It will illuminate and bestow and give everything as if it has everything of its own. How can that be? That the desire, which is from absence, from nothing, that has nothing, and even addition to that, it wants to receive and receive and receive. It's a deficiency. It's a will to receive. So let's write it here. A chisaron, a deficiency. So how is it possible that it will give and be like the light? That's impossible. But because the light, or the Creator, is in the quality of bestowal, and he who loves and wants to give, wants to bestow love, he is very, very sensitive for his attitude to the attitude from the other side, from the one who he loves. That's why the Creator is very sensitive to how the creature treats him. If the creature will treat him slightly well, then he already has pleasure, and if not, then he suffers. Why? Because the Creator is in the quality of love. And how should I put it? It's a very, very dangerous quality. If I love someone, then I depend on him. It's known. Therefore, if the creature, although he's in a deficiency, although he's in a desire, although he has nothing, if he uses the love of the Creator for him, that the Creator treats him with love, then he can either reply the love or not. And by that he actually becomes like the Creator, giving or not. The Creator always wants to give, but the creature can, you know, express it this way or another. He has choice. And all in all, that's because he feels that there is someone that loves him with absolute love, complete. So let's see, what do we get from this entire picture? what we get is the following. If the Creator, which is loving, He loves the creature, what can He do to him? He can bring him to a state that the creature will be like Him. Since the Creator is eternal, He's full, He's complete, so He can do the same to the creature. Now He wants to give it with love to the creature. So how can He give it to him? He first has to treat him on these two channels. On the one, He has to increase His desire that they'll be great, just like His love, in size, that is. Meaning, deficiency equals love. That he'll receive everything the Creator wants him to receive. And also, that he'll be full, fulfilled. Meaning that this giving, it will be like the love of the Creator. That is, the creature needs to be constructed from these two great things. Also a deficiency, the size of the love of the Creator, and also the act of giving the same size as the Creator. And he needs to acquire them, he needs to attain them with recognition, with awareness, with love, with cause and consequence, gradually to understand why, what for, what the Creator is doing to him, what he should do in order to resemble him, and so on. Meaning there's a very special process here. But at the end of this process, this same miserable creature that is from absence, and he has nothing. Ayn is nothing in Hebrew. And then by doing so, he reaches to be like the Creator, and even more so. Because since the Creator does everything out of love, but when the creature reaches it, then you can say he even is in control of the Creator. Just like kids, when they want, they can control the parents. For the reason that the parents love them unconditionally. So what we have here is this great drama, special, which is eternal, infinite between the world, that takes place in this vast reality. If so, we can come closer to our topic. You can talk about all different directions, but for our matter, I would say the following. That if we talk about the fact that the creature starts from zero, existence from absence, what does he need now? He needs to detach himself from existence from absence. And he needs to acquire a great will to receive, like with the Creator. So it's a deficiency. Let's say the same size as the Creator. And then, after he acquires this deficiency, he needs to rise above it. So this deficiency, it doesn't matter if he has a deficiency, it could be empty. He needs to rise above that deficiency. That he won't care that he's in lack. And to be independent of the deficiency, that's called chafetz chesed, that it'll be. Meaning above the deficiency, chafetz chesed. And when he'll be disconnected from his own deficiency, he'll be able to reach a state that he's considered completely free. Free from his nature, free from his desire. And when he'll develop this quality completely, entirely, he reaches the next state that he then takes this entire deficiency, as he had it here. He brings it here, and he begins to fulfill it, that same deficiency. And he begins to work with it. He begins to fill it with love of the Creator. He is willing to receive the love of the Creator. And then it turns out that although there is a deficiency here, but it's filled with love, and they both support each other, fulfill each other, and here is also the Creator and also the creature inside, in that desire created by the Creator, and they are in a state called Dvekut. Now the Creator and the creature are equal, connected together, and they've reached a state that all the existence and all the absence are together. And thus, this state is called the end of correction, or the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation. Where is there self-nullification, if we're talking about that? This self-nullification is all along the way. Because that same creature that did this whole path, it is what started climbing in the ladder of degrees, and it nullified its existence from absence. It cancelled it. It didn't take it into consideration in that desire, in that desire that was born within him. He only used this desire constantly in order to resemble the Creator time after time. First of all, even if he received these great deficiencies, here he was in existence from absence. He was just like that point. Like the point. Let's say this point of desire. All it is a point of desire, this small point. And he went to it in order to acquire this great deficiency. What for? In order to have a kli to face the Creator. So by that he also nullifies himself, because it's better not to acquire such great deficiencies. That's on stage one. Later on, he cancelled this deficiency, this great desire, rose above it, here is this border called Machsom, that he rose above it, he cancelled it as if he doesn't exist. And after he succeeded in doing so, he then became free from the desire, nullification of the yesh, of the existence. So he reaches another state that he renews this desire. he renews it, and he begins to search for pleasures. But the pleasures that he receives is not to enjoy himself, but to give the pleasure to he who loves him. So for that to love him, in order to express the love to it in such a way, just like he expresses his love for him to me. So we'll call this stage number 3. And every time we talk about the degrees that the creature rises in this degree of ladders, of values, until he reaches the end of correction, we see that he constantly nullifies himself. Constantly. And, well, there are many questions here. Where does he get strength from? Why? How does he know it's good? And 1,000 other questions around it. But eventually, this is the process. We're in it. And whether we like it or not, we go from the beginning till the end. And our freedom of choice isn't to advance in it or not. It's to reach it either a freedom of choice every time, or by the blows that force us to advance. Meaning, self-nullification is the means and the action and the result that by them we reach one state to the next on this value of degrees, until we reach the highest degree, that the nullification there is so great, and by that one becomes similar to the Creator. He becomes like the Creator, meaning this action of nullification is an action in which I acquire, in one thing and its oppositeness, seemingly, I acquire the size of the Creator. I become like the Creator. So what do I give up on and what do I acquire? I actually require something that there is nothing like it. For what? For constantly nullifying this point in existence from absence. On that I stand, and on it I grow, on this point. Because I have that very same point that the Creator has created from absence. That's why it's called Creator. It's the only action that he did. The action of the creation of the desire, this point of Yesh Me'ayin. And this desire, Yesh Me'ayin, is it's as a point, it has nothing in it. And all the rest, the light works on it. And when this works on it, it begins to inflate and inflate more and more. But on account of what? On account of the light. He itself is complete absence. The Ari writes that it's a little more, to some extent, different, just a little bit, from the white light. It's like this point that has this tiny, tiny fraction of dirt, which resembles it from the upper light. And then it grows and grows until it reaches this volume, like the Creator. And then that same point, which has expanded so much, is able to receive all of his love. Well, for that, of course, there are also many, you can understand from that how the world acts towards this, towards the environment, towards the group, towards towards the nation, towards humanity, towards the upper ones, towards the upper worlds, towards the Creator. All of these things we talk about, where we are able to advance in self-nullification, where no, I have to guard myself, and the opposite. How can we acquire a greater will to receive if it's the opposite from self-nullification? I first of all have to use myself. I have to acquire a greater will to receive the wisdom of Kabbalah, as you've said. And here it's nullification. It's as if these two things cancel themselves out. There are many more questions here. Well, take it in any direction you want to take it. Go on, Aaron. The explanations were very deep and broad. I want to ask simply, if a person wants to reach light in his life, what exactly does he have to nullify? He has to nullify himself towards the environment. If we're talking about this, then we're talking about how can we advance, in which stages can we advance forward. With everything that I've written, all this ladder of degrees, all the worlds, it's all nice, but when it comes down to it, here and now, we have a simple solution. I don't know who the Creator is. He's concealed. The upper worlds, they're high, concealed. Even these forces, even these forces of nefesh, of the soul, I don't really know. I can talk about myself and someone else can speak otherwise. I have nothing certain which I can work with, but nothing that I can measure, like in technology, and I can be certain that, you know, like in technology I measure it and I know what I get. But in the spiritual advancement, everything is concealed. If so, how can we advance? I don't know the path. I don't know the way to it. Who am I? Nothing. Everything is complete darkness. How can I do a certain step and not make a mistake? Or it's written, sit and do nothing. That's better. So then in that way, I might not be able to advance. So the Kabbalists have come and they tell us, and they give us their ideas, and they say, you actually don't know anything, and it's good that you don't know. But there's you, which is called I, and there's the environment, or a group. It includes the books and includes the teacher. And the moment you begin to think, who am I? What am I? Again, who am I? What am I? What is the meaning of life, of my life, and many other such things, such questions? So we speak about these things that seemingly have this point in the heart, besides the desire, then you're brought to a state that you enter this place with people who have the same questions and the same search of how to reach the realization of it. And if we've spoken, if all the way is to cancel the I, who is this I? It's the corporeal desire. I don't want to write it beastly, but that's what it is. Meaning a desire for this world. A corporeal desire. Leave that. That has nothing to do with spirituality. It's only related to the point in the heart. And onwards, just like that, all the rest does not belong to relate to spirituality. Therefore, what you have to do, you have to adhere to all these things, teacher, environment, group, books, and for them you have to nullify yourself. So this self-nullification is what you have to do in such a way that you're like delved into them, you become part of them, and it's like you don't exist. So just like you're a point existence from absence, just turn it into absence without the existence. That's called nullification, that you're not there, you don't exist. Because I'm here, this 80 kilogram body, and I have different organs. No, that's not what it is. The thing is about mocha veliba, mind and heart. Your heart is all of your emotions, and your mind is all of your thoughts. That is what you should sell. What does it mean, sell? Throw them away. Take the thoughts and desires from the group, from the books, from the teacher, from the environment. Start absorbing what they have instead of what you are. To such an extent that all the mind, all the emotion is only in order to receive what is in them and to fulfill what you think you have. So just switch it, empty yourself and bring everything they have. How can that be? I've studied. I'm not an idiot. I'm not stupid. I'm something, I'm someone. Let's see what I take from them, let's check. So it's been told, no. If they have that same goal, regardless of how they understand it or tied to it, it could be they have the same goal, to reach the Creator. Regardless, if they don't understand this point, they're not able to analyze it, let's say. It's possible that you understand more than they do towards that goal. And we're always given the example of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, that he was great, his students were small. Of course he knew more than they did. Who were they? He needed to nullify himself towards them because they only wanted that same goal. To the extent they understand it, that's enough. If you nullify yourself towards them, your I towards them, then you reach the purpose. Why? Because you nullify the I, that's called nullification of the existence. Nullify it on the one hand, and on the other hand, you receive through them, you begin to receive it through them, the light. The upper light, what is called surrounding light. Because you've nullified yourself, you now enter this system, that this system is for you the world of Ensof, regardless if they don't know where they are. You delve into them, you enter them, you discover their depth, their thickness, to the extent you can, and to the extent you'll nullify yourself from one degree and even below, less and less and less, no matter how much you'll nullify yourself, you'll find in them all the worlds until the world of Insof. It all depends on your nullification. You first nullify yourself towards them, you receive the surrounding light that increases your desire, then you receive light which cancels the desire, you reach Chafetz Chesed, then you receive forces that you're working with the desire in receiving it in order to bestow, all in the depth of the group. I'm like this cake built of 125 slices, and it all depends on what layer you're in. The deeper in you are, it's better, and it all depends on the extent you nullify your I. And where do I have it from? I have only a point. No, in your point is the entire Malchut of Insof. So it turns out that in this life, in this simple state where we are, in the, like with the guys here, as we call it, I receive all the keys for spiritual advancement. And I have no problem to work with it, because you don't need mind for that. You don't need special emotion, you don't need to study. You don't need to have any excellence. Just forward to the extent you're able to nullify yourself. That's it. Self-nullification is the key to the upper world. Yes. So I have a question. I'm a bit confused. This program is Kabbalah for the beginners. That's what it's called. Kabbalah for the student, for the beginner. This is all in the beginning. So I look at this circle here. The one with a teacher, group, books. A person has that immediately, Rav said. So Moshe is saying, I've read two books already. I don't know what a group is. I have my own environment, but I look at a teacher. I see you, the Rav, as my teacher. And you're saying that me, everything remains. I read the books, I saw a few programs on TV. What are my first steps? This seems to me in the Sefirot, in I don't know where. No. It's very simple. You have now discovered that there is a group that studies the wisdom of Kabbalah. You've met them, and you now feel that you want to advance together with them. Their goal, well, looks good for you. You read a few books, you like them. So already now, the environment and group is the same thing. So now you can have the books already, the environment. Already there, you have something which you can grow in, want to grow. Now you're told you can stay in the group, you can come to study, you can talk, you can ask, you can be with them, with the friends. They do meals sometimes, different events. Very good. Great. You can have a good time with them. It's very pleasant. You know, many people in the world would be happy to be in such an environment or in another environment. Never mind. A person wants to feel that he has something. But here we have an additional value with the group, that it can take you to a place of transcendence, not just to have a good time, but it can take you to a special transcendence, a spiritual one. What is a spiritual one? I don't know, but it's some sort of transcendence. So what to do for it? So that you're being told, do something simple. You need nothing, but only nullify your thought and your desire to their thought and their desire. That's it. In that action, there is a miracle, magic, something, I don't know. By that you suddenly begin to feel how you begin to feel things that you've never felt before, that you didn't know existed in you. You want to do it? Go ahead. And if not, don't. No one can demand it from you, and no one can check either. No one can measure. But you have the opportunity. This opportunity is called freedom of choice. And by the way, it is the only free choice a person has in this world. In all the rest of our actions, we're not free. So self-nullification towards the group, towards the environment, that is my only action in life. So when my life comes to an end, I calculate, I get rid of my body, and then I start calculating, what have I done in life? I ate, I slept, I had a good time, this and that, so and so and so. Okay, good. Okay. All this calculation is thrown out. Nothing. If I nullified myself towards the group, and then as a result of that I acquired something in spirituality, I received it from above immediately, this completion, then it remains. And with that I finish this incarnation. Yes? We have a quote about this from the writings of Bala Sulam, article The Freedom, quote number 9. Therefore, he who strives to continually choose a better environment is worthy of praise and reward. But here too, it is not because of his good thoughts and deeds, which come to him without his choice, but because of his effort to acquire a good environment, which brings him these good thoughts and deeds. It is as Rabbi Yoshua ben Pirchia said, make for yourself a Rav, and buy for yourself a friend. So in other words, if you'll be able to nullify yourself towards the group, the environment, by that, you attain the spiritual transcendence. Yes, Hillel. Ravian from Sydney is asking, how can we check, how can we measure if we nullify ourselves correctly? A person can know only according to the results. You know, there are such wise guys, you know, from their area down there, who knock on their hearts with their hands and say, yes, I'm nothing, and so on. But the truth is, self-nullification is only according to the result. If a person nullifies himself, he immediately begins to feel the quality of chasadim, of mercy. And you can't pass on what that means. So disregarding that, there's a question from Yosef from Jerusalem. How do you feel when there's nullification of that point? A person begins to discover that there's a system around him, a system of forces that work through all of reality in a transparent manner. It goes through all of the corporeal reality. And these forces which are tied to each other, that is called the spiritual reality. And he'll begin to feel how they work and activate all of reality, him as well. And then, from that he learns that he's attracted more and more to nullify himself. Of course, there is work against his ego here. But to the extent there is self-nullification on the next degrees, meaning he has left line, right line, he has work here in the three lines. From his ego that joins in, he begins to feel to what extent that upon this point of existence
from absence, he builds this Pharaoh, this ego, this Egypt, and he nullifies it. And by that, he comes out of Egypt to the spiritual world. I think he means on a more personal aspect, do I feel good, do I feel bad, do I feel down? So who is this I, this same point in him, that of course does feel good to such an extent that it needs nothing more. But again, this sensation doesn't come because he enjoys it. It comes in rising above his ego. And then it's not on his own account that I enjoy, that he feels good. He feels he rises above matter, and from that he has pleasure. From rising above, not from the sensation, I feel good, but from the result. Well, we'll try find it. Another very interesting question from Effie from Netanya. How can we nullify ourselves before the group without coercion? For example, when my will to receive wants something very strongly, but it floors the purposeful environment. Rabash writes in many articles how we have to work in the group in order for us to have strength, to have a desire, an urge to nullify ourselves. It's not simple. The group has to work entirely on everyone together. And a person has to work with the group, and in this mutual work, there's no problem. Most importantly, is to start the work. Make a deal that from now on, we're all responsible for everyone. We're working on it, we're engaging in it, we're making an effort in it. I'm in charge of the spirituality of all the friends, and that's how each friend thinks. And if that's how we think, then it's certain that each one feels this upliftment, a desire to nullify himself and towards the group, to just be there. So this I won't be there, but that same point that is included from them, because their soul isn't me. It's in self-nullification that I enter the group, the society. And in my nullification, in the anti-I, what I acquire from them then, that is the soul. We have a quote from the writings of Rabash just regarding that. It's quote number 7. However, by assembling a few people who agree that they have to achieve love of others, when they annul themselves before one another, they are all intermingled. Thus, in each person, there accumulates a great force according to the size of the society, and then they can execute the love of others in actual fact. Yes, Iran. We live in the 21st century. This world is a world of realizing myself, of fulfilling myself. I want a career, I want to succeed, I want to do this and that. And in the peak of realization, I come to study Kabbalah, this ancient wisdom. I come to find the secrets about myself and the world. And now you're telling me to nullify myself. And that sounds to be a zombie towards the society? What does that mean, to nullify? What is this nullification? Where is it expressed? It depends what environment you're talking about, what society. If you talk about an environment that engages in ideas of this world, and they are told, nullify yourself towards it. By the way, many people do so in many different societies. Then it's clear that you turn into a zombie, because all in all, what you're doing is you're taking their goal, and everything they have is considered sacred for you, meaning above examination, above anything, you take it, you see it as greatest. Here, we're talking about the fact that this group has no goal of its own. Its goal is the creator, the upper force. And then when you reach the society and you start examining it, who are they, what are they, Where are they headed? What means are they doing it through? Who leads them? Then you begin to examine these things, and then you have to cut. As Rabbi says in his articles about the society, there is a time that you decide, where am I? What's this environment? What are these guys? What do they want? But after you see and you've examined, say a month or two that you've seen these things, that's it. More than that, no, you have to decide, are you going with them or not? And if you do, then you must start to self-nullify. And that's it. Now, this self-nullification isn't nullifying yourself towards this current environment. It's you nullifying yourself towards the inner spiritual environment, which they themselves don't even know about. You nullify yourselves towards that same idea that's inside the Creator, that lies in them, in those same inner layers that they themselves don't even realize that they have. You nullify yourself towards godliness that they yearn to discover, connection which they crave to reach, love of friends that it's talked about, but in the future we will reach it. You nullify yourselves towards that, meaning towards this sublime idea. And to the extent you do nullify yourself towards it, don't look at them. You might not see them correctly, because he who flaws does it with his own flaws. But if you nullify yourselves correctly, you'll see that this environment is sacred. It engages in spirituality. It's in a spiritual height. I've seen them before. They were such nothings, no ones, and suddenly you realize, no, they're all in spiritual levels. I just didn't discover it before, because I looked at them with my corporeal eyes. And thus you observe the world in such a way. You don't look at the society. Now let's say you turn around and look at the world, and then you see the world isn't behaving like I thought. People are chasing money, honor, and such nonsense. No, you begin to see the world behaves according to a special program, and people are doing spiritual actions. How's that possible? You look at it differently, and you see, because the world is your projection. It has no constant form the way it exists. It's you seeing them. It's a replication of you, as we've learnt it in the perception of reality. And therefore, this nullification that you nullify towards the group, that gives you, it changes your perception of reality. You begin to see there is no reality independently, but it's all in relation to how I depict it. Likewise with the group. That's most importantly. The world, well, yeah, okay. But most importantly, I begin to see the group in such a way which I determine how I'll see them. They have no form of themselves. There are many things here, of course, that's not really suitable for beginners. That's how it came out, but... Yes, Sila, pass it, the mic behind you. In perception of reality, we know there are always different relationships. As a result of this action, the choice to do this, is something revealed correspondingly? And because of being separate from the Creator, there is shame. Do we have to arrange something between nullification and shame? The truth is, self-nullification covers everything, because it's the quality of Bina. That quality covers it all. And only when we attain it completely, then there is shame revealed towards love. How can I, in that case, pay him back? But also that is done after we begin to work in the will to receive in order to bestow. Then we even nullify ourselves even more. Therefore, besides nullification, there's nothing. It's always work upon the will to receive. That's called self-nullification. Well, one of the two. Eitan from Givat Shmuel is asking, how can you nullify ourselves and still be have chutzpah? But towards what? To have this impotence, since the Creator values this impotence, doesn't he? It's in the case that a person does all that depends on him, and he discovers that after these actions that he's done everything, he has a place to demand. He has another place. These things, well, impotence in spirituality isn't like in corporeality, I deserve it, but where I don't deserve it and I acquire this additional self-nullification, then I demand it. So as usual, it's the opposite. Yes? Moshe? I'm going to read a quote that summarizes and talks about the purpose of our society from the writings of Rabash, first volume. That's quote number 6. We gather here to establish a society where each of us follow the spirit of bestowing upon the Creator. And to achieve bestowal upon the Creator, we must begin with bestowal upon man, which is called love of others. And love of others can only be with revoking oneself. Thus, on the other hand, each person should feel lowly, and on the other hand, be proud that the Creator has given us the chance to be in a society where each of us has but a single goal, for divinity to be among us. Yes, that's the purpose of self-nullification. So to know what I need to nullify in myself, because I still don't understand, what do I have to nullify, what to let them fill me with their opinions, what the society, so maybe I have to nullify the part that doesn't agree to love them. Is that the meaning? Well, that's of course, but these are sublime matters, that I love them or don't. That's too much already, but we're talking around the beginning of the nullification. When I go into the environment, I have to nullify myself towards many external things. Let's start from that. They ask me to participate with them in different activities, different kinds of things that they do, in order to, let's say, maintain the physical center, or things about study and participation and so on. So I start nullifying myself from that, in all different things towards that, and later on towards additional things as well. Half from that can I reach love. Okay, I help them, I serve them, whatever. From that I reach love of others. That's something very sublime. Yes, but it's not immediately. Love is acquired many stages after nullification. When I nullify myself, I nullify my ego. I acquire the values of the group. And when I begin to advance with this, then eventually I begin to live above my ego. And when I live above my ego, I acquire from the environment their desires. I then awaken my ego in return, in order to fulfill their deficiencies, their lacks. That's the realization of love. This is my ego. I rise above it, I don't need it. It's here. I nullify myself towards the environment, the society, let's say. I nullify myself. I buy from them a desire, a great desire, to be with them together. I begin to feel that this love is all. What is this love that is all? I begin to treat them. What do they want? How can I love them? To love them means to fulfill them, to give them whatever they need. I begin to check their desire. So let's say their desire becomes clear to me. So I return. I know what they want, but how can I fulfill it? So then I renew my desire. I fill it with the light that they need, and then I give it to them. Then fulfill it, meaning I use my ego, which isn't an ego because that's not for my benefit, but for theirs. I use it in order to fulfill them. So there are a few actions here that I need to do, that I finally fulfill them, and this fulfillment is called love. Love is called that I fulfill someone that I love. Well, and by that we will conclude. So we'll finish our program. Thanks for all the viewers that were with us. We'll see you next program.